When Bianca Bosker quit her tech reporter job to dive into the world of wine, friends worried she'd developed a drinking problem. What she'd actually discovered was a secret society of sensory athletes who lived for taste with religious devotion. These weren't stuffy wine snobs, but masochistic hedonists who sacrificed normal lives in pursuit of flavor. They entered high-stakes competitions while pregnant, abandoned marriages for palate practice, and obsessively checked weather reports that might dull their noses. These sommeliers were mostly white-collar refugees with advanced degrees who'd abandoned conventional careers, enduring grueling hours and constant study in what one described as some blood sport with corkscrews. While most of us experience wine as a pleasant buzz with dinner, these people received rich stories of winemakers, regional histories, and environmental conditions with every sip. Their world challenged centuries of anti-sensory bias, from Plato, who considered taste and smell degenerate senses, to Kant, who scorned them as nothing but senses of organic sensation. Could cultivating these neglected senses help us live fuller, more perceptive lives? Morgan Harris, a bike messenger from the neck down, and Hugh Grant from the chin up, ordered sherry and launched into an expert discourse on wine before Bosker could speak. After 7 years in wine, he was pursuing the Master Sommelier exam, a feat only 230 people had achieved. The child of Seattle doctors, Morgan had finally found in wine a subject with an infinite number of expansion packs. Despite the risk of being seen as a glorified, overpaid waiter, he believed wine could fundamentally reshape one's humanity. The 11 Madison Park Blind Tasting Group was New York's most exclusive, with a waiting list to join. While Bosker struggled with basic descriptors, Dana Geiser, a Stanford engineer turned distributor, could analyze wines with surgical precision. Pale gold, with rim variation at the meniscus, flecks of gold and green. The sommeliers spoke their own language, discussing aromas like wet asphalt and surgical glove. The commitment was intense. Morgan spent $15,000 annually on practice wines from his $72,000 salary, while members devoted nearly every moment to studying, working, and socializing exclusively within wine circles. In blind tasting competition, Morgan followed his ritual before analyzing the wine methodically. He assessed appearance, clear red wine of moderate plus concentration with dark ruby core, using clarity, density, and color as varietal clues. His nose detected moderate intensity of ripe red and black fruits, along with plum, cassis, rose, earth, oregano, and leather. His final assessment? Merlot dominant blend from Saint-Emilion, 2010 vintage, Grand Cru Classe quality. The service section, deliberately designed for full, unbridled hazing, sommelier style, proved most challenging. A single drop of wine on a glass rim could spell disaster, like a turd smeared on a wedding gown. Sommeliers must execute countless steps perfectly while making recommendations and ensuring each guest feels special. As one put it, "We're like swans, smooth and calm on top, but pedaling frantically underneath. It has to be perfect." While skeptics dismiss wine expertise as pretense, brain imaging reveals that sommeliers' brains function distinctly from novices. When tasting wine in fMRI machines, experts show heightened activity in regions tied to memory, planning, and reasoning, while amateurs display only basic emotional responses. Wine expertise develops like language acquisition through building conceptual frameworks for sensory information. Bosker combined daily olfactory training using Lanet Duvin essences with theoretical study. This approach aligns with research showing humans' difficulty in naming smells stems from social conditioning, not biological limitations. The Jahai tribe exemplifies this. Their rich scent vocabulary enables precise odor identification with specific terms for categories like bloody smell that attracts tigers. When Professor Yu analyzed Bosker's brain scans, they showed expert-level wine processing. Her left orbital frontal cortex, insula, and dorsolateral prefrontal cortex displayed heightened activity, indicating analytical rather than emotional processing. Even her deep brain regions engaged in complex problem-solving. These results demonstrate how sensory training rapidly transforms our neural pathways, engaging our most sophisticated cognitive functions. At Marea, money ruled supreme, even tolerating inappropriate behavior from big spenders. Victoria James, a 24-year-old sommelier, mastered the art of reading between the lines. When a guest requested cold and crisp, like a Chablis, she'd sometimes serve a buttery Italian wine instead, knowing it would better match their actual taste. She navigated countless contradictions. Guests who claimed to hate Chardonnay while ordering Chablis, made from Chardonnay grapes, or those asking for dry reds when seeking tannins. Her approach relied on quick profiling. Japanese guests preferring high acid wines, business dinners revealing their budgets through body language, cautious couples on dates. She adjusted her demeanor for each table, deferential to older guests, careful with wives, and ego-stroking with men. Yet beneath the calculated service lay a genuine desire to delight guests, often recommending less expensive bottles to build lasting relationships. Despite downplaying the importance of passing the certified sommelier exam to friends, Bosker was determined to succeed after nearly a year immersed in sommelier culture. Her original curiosity about their obsessions had transformed into sharing them. In Virginia Beach for her exam, she tried to channel Morgan's advice about approaching blind tasting like martial arts, achieving mushin, or no mind, a state where she could perceive wine without interference from nerves. When the exam began, she methodically analyzed her white wine, citrus notes, briny character, straw color, eventually concluding it was Chablis Chardonnay. The red seemed more straightforward: ruby color, jammy fruit, new oak influence, California Cabernet Sauvignon. The theory portion tested obscure wine knowledge, while the service exam left many looking traumatized. Despite her terrible track record with opening sparkling wine, her service exam went surprisingly well. She successfully opened champagne and confidently fielded questions about vintages and pairings. Something clicked, like muscle memory, and she performed with unexpected charm and authority. Wine had become the centerpiece of Bosker's life, with each varietal triggering rich associations, from people to historical moments. Her advice for aspiring wine enthusiasts was simple: build sense memory by smelling everything and naming it. Start with your home. Explore the fridge, spices, and flowers. Learn to identify patterns and master the fundamental elements: acid, alcohol, tannin, finish, sweetness, and body. Her MRI Tiberians revealed wine's paradox, scientifically pure yet soulless when stripped of context. The magic happens when our brains transform chemical compounds into stories. This sensory richness is available to everyone, requiring neither wealth nor supernatural senses, just attention and enthusiasm. In our increasingly digital world, the sommelier's path reminds us that our bodies aren't mere brain carriers, but portals to a more vibrant existence. Awakening our senses leads not just to better wine appreciation, but to a richer, more nuanced experience of life itself.